Do you really know him? Are you really close to Jesus? Is he really your best friend? Do you really know the Lord intimately? Do you really know him? Do you really, really know him?
You can be a more effective vessel for God through the ministry of prayer than the most famous evangelist or teacher or preacher or apostle who's ever lived. Everything flows out of prayer. Ravenhill said, no man is greater than his prayer life. And listen to what Andrew Murray said, a man that wrote much about prayer and knew much about prayer. He said, the enemy uses all his power to lead the Christian and above all the ministers to neglect prayer. He knows that however admirable the sermon may be, however attractive the service, however faithful the pastoral visitation, none of these things can damage him or his kingdom if prayer is neglected. Everything effective in your life, in your walk with God, in your ministry, and seeing God move in your behalf, and seeing him touch your family, touch your community, touch your own life, it's all going to flow out of your prayer life. D.L. Moody said this. So when I get to heaven, next to the wonder of seeing my Savior, that'll be the greatest wonder of all. He said, but next to that, the next greatest wonder will be that I use the ministry of prayer so well.
Oh, we're this, we're that, we're somebody, we're... What does God really think of me? Who are you really? That's the bottom line, friends. That's what really matters. Who are you? Do you really know the Lord intimately? Can he look at you and say, yeah, I know him? We spend quality time together. We are this close.
There was a Romanian pastor who was tortured terribly in prison for years. Richard Wurmbrand relates what happened to him. He was tortured, he was abused, and he was asked to denounce the Lord, to deny his faith, and he refused to do it. You know what he said when he was asked about it? Deny Jesus. Here you are, suffering all these things, deny Jesus. You know what he said? Why else was I made but to love him? Why else? What else am I here for? What other purpose do I have in life? He was tortured to death, died with the crown of life. Wurmbrand tells about a man named Victor Belyev, a Ukrainian Christian bishop who was kept in solitary confinement for 20 years. Can you imagine? Can't imagine. With only a straw mat put in his cell each night for 7 hours, every day for 17 hours he was made to walk around the cell continuously like a horse in a circus. If he stopped or broke down, they threw buckets of water on him or beat him, and he was forced to continue. After 20 years of such a regime, he was sent to forced labor in northern Siberia, where the ice never melts, for another 4 years. Wurmbrand asked him, how could you bear this suffering after the years in solitary confinement and a starvation diet? Wurmbrand himself had suffered terribly. Imprisonment, 14 years, solitary confinement, 3 years. This man replied by singing a song he composed. With the flames of love's fire that Jesus kindled in my heart, I caused the ice of Siberia to melt. Hallelujah. Put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Let the oil of gladness flow down from. You need to step back and ask yourself, what makes me tick? Who am I? If you took away everything from me and only left me one thing, what would it be?
We've got to realize that the answer lies at the throne of God, and the way we touch the throne of God is on our knees in prayer. Prayer makes the difference, friends. It doesn't depend on anything except your own private, personal relationship with God, and nobody can stop you from being a man or woman of prayer. Doesn't matter what your marital situation is like. Doesn't matter what your job situation is like. Nobody can stop you from praying. And if you want to build right, you build everything on prayer. If you want to walk right, you start everything with prayer. Hey, listen, if we prayed for revival for 10 years, 2 hours a day for 10 years, and then God shook the nation, man, that 10 years is nothing. Prayer makes the difference. You see, God is working with us. And as we pray, things happen in the heavenlies. As we pray, a place is prepared in our own hearts and lives. As we pray, room is being made. As we pray, the desperation rises, the hunger rises, the petitions increase. Our vision is expanded until we begin to understand what God wants to do. But I want you to see ultimately that prayer should just be part of the fabric of our life. But you see, if you will just have it as natural as eating and drinking, sleeping, just as natural as life, just pray, Lord, I'm just praying. Thought comes to your mind, you lift it up in a prayer. Burden rises, you turn it over to God in prayer. Difficult situation, immediately give it to God in prayer. You spend quality time alone with God on a regular basis, man, your life will be transformed. And heaven will be open and God will speak if you pray. If prayer becomes the foundation of your life. God said, I was looking for somebody. It's in the Bible. God's looking. He doesn't want to destroy, but he has to, because people are in sin and people are not responding. If he can find somebody, he holds back his wrath. He said, I couldn't find one. I'd heard about this man who'd been praying for his unsaved best friend for years, and the man wouldn't respond. And one day, the unsaved fellow came over to borrow a tool from his friend. And the friend was away. So he went right into the tool shed because they were good friends and he felt he could just freely go in there. Didn't even have to ask. He went into the tool shed and he gets in the tool shed and he begins to weep. And right there in the tool shed, he gets saved. And afterwards, he tells his friend, he said, I went to the tool shed to borrow a tool. Something came over, I started to weep, and I got saved. And the guy said, for years, every day, I have prayed for you in that tool shed. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And I thought, wait a second. He laid down his life for his friend. That's how he's looking at his church. That's how he's looking at it. Is he really your friend? Is he your best and closest friend? Is he the center of your life and the reason that you live? If not, something is amiss. You may have gotten so caught up in working for him that you forgot to wait on him. Do you really know him? Are you really close to Jesus? Is he really your best friend? Do you really know the Lord intimately? Do you really know him? Do you really, really know him?